Dina Diamond, how are you?
Good. I'm sorry. That is pretty funny. But I have to tell you that I did once do that. I did actually write a happy birthday message.
How did you feel?
I did. I didn't know that passed away. I really didn't. They were literally a young person, like literally someone my age. Well, at that stage, I was a bit younger. Right. And I didn't know that passed away. But someone did phone me immediately. They noticed that I had written on the wall and I immediately deleted it. It was the first and last time I have ever done that.
It's mortifying. I mean, if you'll excuse that word.
Completely mortifying. Mm-hmm. Completely. Yeah. So yes, now unless I'm fully aware of the person's status, I don't
Well, it's actually what I, the policy that I have with Facebook is, I've got 5,000 friends and I don't know them all and I accept people generally as long as it's not a fake account because I use it for, you know, to put my writing and things like that out there. Unless I know the person personally, I don't wish them happy birthday. Otherwise I'm going to end up getting myself into trouble over something.
Yeah, no, generally I am the same, but this was a person I was friendly with many moons ago and I did write a happy birthday message, but I was completely mortified.
Wow.
So yes, I no longer do that. If I haven't spoken to people in years and I don't know where they are or how they are, then I don't generally wish them happy birthday.
You need proof of life. A current newspaper with a photo of them with the date. Which is terrible considering what we're actually talking about this morning. Like it's just terrible. I'm trying to figure out how I'm shifting gears now to talk about the death of Lord Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, which came as absolutely devastating news for me. If there's one person who I read every single word that this guy writes, and I read it over and over, and I'm absolutely obsessed with his new book, Morality. It's probably one of the best things I've ever read. I can't believe that the world has just lost this figure.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is what everyone shares in that view is that the world has lost, not just the Jewish, not just Britain, not the Jewish, just the Jewish world, but the entire world has lost a great. Like when we talk about, when we look at history and we look at the Vilna Gaon and we look at those kind of people, Lord Jonathan, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks is that person. He is the one who will stand out in this generation as an absolute exceptional human being that shared, that taught, that helped others grow. And again, across the entire world, I mean, there are tributes pouring in globally, not just from Jews, but from every single sector of society. And I think that is a complete tribute to the man that was, to the 30 books that he wrote, as you say. And I think he was such an ambassador for the Jewish people that it is such a tremendous loss because he was someone who was really able to bridge the gap between Judaism and the secular world that we live in. And he was able to relate to both. So not only when he spoke, he brought in economics, he brought in philosophy, he brought in sociology. He wasn't at all sort of removed from anything. That's why he was taken in so holistically that I think that is what really made him so special and that he related to everyone on a very personal level. He was seen as, he literally was held in that pedestal where he was the epitome of Judaism in terms of how he behaved, in terms of how he acted, in terms of how he spoke. He was literally the role model of our generation, and that is the loss that we're dealing with.
Well, I saw that His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales issued a statement saying it was with the most profound personal sorrow that I heard of the death of Rabbi Lord Sacks. With his passing, the Jewish community, our nation, and the entire world have lost a leader whose wisdom, scholarship, and humanity were without equal. I mean, that's incredibly strong words coming from the Prince of Wales. His immense learning spanned the sacred and secular, and his prophetic voice spoke to our greatest challenges with unfailing insight and boundless compassion. His wise counsel was sought and appreciated by those of all faiths and none, and all faiths and none, and he will be missed more than words can say. Although Rabbi Lord Sacks' death is a cause of the greatest possible sadness, we give thanks for the immeasurable contribution which, in tradition of the most revered teachers of the Jewish people, he made to all of our lives. I send my deepest condolences to his family. I mean, that is coming from the Prince of Wales. That is an incredibly powerful statement.
Absolutely. And that statement isn't unique. I mean, it comes, literally those statements were coming in from everyone. Even so, the Archbishop of Canterbury, he actually praised Lord Sax's religious devotion and leadership, as well his deep commitment to interpersonal relationships. And what he said was that you couldn't help be swept up in the delight at living. His sense of humor, his kindness, and his desire to know, understand, and value others. I mean, that is to me also the ultimate compliment.
Yeah. What was also interesting to me, and just from, I wanted to ask you this from a branding perspective, I noticed that he kind of oscillated. His latest book, or I don't know if it's actually, there is a new one that I haven't yet been able to get hold of. I don't know if it's actually distributed yet. But his book, Morality, doesn't refer to him as a rabbi. It just says Jonathan Sacks on it. So there's definitely was a shift later on in his life, in his career, to reach people outside of our community.
So it was his universal appeal, absolutely. And as you say, so he wrote 30 books. I mean, 30 books is a crazy number to be able to write. But if you look at the title of his book, so obviously Morality, so he had a huge focus recently on people getting back to morality, on bringing everyone back to the tenets of humanity, and to say not only Jews, but everyone in the world needs to come back to refocus, to recenter, and just to be kind to each other. And he spoke about that in many, many of his writings and many of his interviews. I mean, even his other books, he wrote, like the titles of them all talk to bringing people together and healing. So, like the one book was To Heal a Fractured World. What other titles? The Great Partnership, Faith in the Future. So absolutely Morality, Restoring Humanity, The Dignity of Difference. So it was all about really bringing people together, about understanding each other. I mean, he was actually taken to task on one of his books where he was, they said that he wasn't saying that Judaism was unique enough, which he retracted, and he said, no, obviously it is, but you need to also accept that other people have their faiths and people need to live in harmony.
I mean, not in God's Name, Confronting Religious Violence, an incredibly powerful book. Absolutely unbelievable book, in fact. Probably one of the most powerful books I've read.
Yeah, and then also The Politics of Hope. I mean, they're just, every single one of his books was about bringing people together and was about crisis and covenant. So how do you go through those conflicts? How do you work through them to get humanity back together? And I think that is also why, so from a marketing point of view, in terms of the brand of Lord Jonathan Rabbi Sacks, so he was a lord. I mean, he was literally knighted by the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, in 2005, and he was awarded a life peerage in the British House of Lords in 2009. So not something easy to get. I mean, but it shows that he was so respected within that environment and from the government of the UK, of Britain, and again by the British royals, as you've seen with Prince Charles, that is a very unique position. There are not a lot of religious leaders that are given that level of respect, that level of honor. And I think all the comments that come in, even from Labour leaders, this one from a Labour leader, Sir Keir Starmer, he says, he was a towering intellect whose eloquence, insights, and kindness reach well beyond the Jewish community. I mean, those are comments that are coming in from everyone, completely not Jewish, completely sitting potentially on the other side of his political views or religious views. But he gained the respect of the individuals because he was respectful to others. So even though he spoke and he put out his views, he was never dictatorial in the way he did it. He was never condescending. He was never belittling, never spoke down to anyone. He gave across those things in a very, and also sometimes very complex ideas, in a very simplified, concept that made people really understand and engage. And he was such an amazing orator that he brought people in to all of his sermons and his speeches. And when he, even when he spoke in 2019 against anti-Semitism in the House of Lords, he spoke, he talked about his own experience. He had just gone to Warsaw and he spoke about how in the middle of the center of the city, there were 440,000 Jews who were caged in the middle of the city. He goes, people must have seen this. He said, imagine if there were Sikhs or Hindus, because there was actually someone sitting next to him who was one of the spiritual leaders of the Hindus. And he was saying, imagine they were in the middle. So he made it very relatable, but again, was such a spokesman for the Jewish people that he really was just the most outstanding moral compass and the most wonderful spokesperson, literally, for the entire world Jewry.
What was also interesting to me, and something that I noticed more and more in the last couple of years, Martin actually says, don't forget the Lubavitcher Rebbe who encouraged Rabbi Sacks to become a religious leader. He had an incredible amount of gratitude, or what we call Hakarat HaTov, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who he acknowledged over and over again. And I thought that was so powerful, because that not only did he transcend other religions, but actually recognized, even within Judaism, that we need to acknowledge each other and the incredible work that even an area that is not our own necessarily is doing in this world.
No, absolutely. He continuously made reference to Rabbi Schneerson, to Rabbi, so he said that he actually owed a lot of his learnings. And again, that it was exactly the Rebbe who actually did encourage him to do his smicha and to become a rabbi. And he continued, he was just always just that humble individual. So when we talk about leaders and leaders having to be held to account and to have a higher moral standard, he was that person. Like, there literally was no greater ambassador in the world for Judaism. Like, he truly was such a great of this generation that I think we know it now and everyone's talking about the loss, but I think even in future years to come, we're going to realize what an absolute great he was. He was just respected by everyone. He was well thought of by everyone and he was taken seriously. And he was literally taken as a thought leader for Judaism. And obviously there's always, I mean, we can never completely agree from the Haredim to the Reform. There was always some small level of disconnect, but he was always respectful. And that you actually can't teach people. That is like an inner presence. In fact, what people used to say is that when he walked into a room, you knew you were in the presence of someone great.
Yeah. And, incredible that. It's in fact, we were talking about him not too long ago, because he made some very bold statements heading up to the election when rabbis were getting involved in politics. And he said, I can see that it's not the case in America, and I'm afraid American Jewry is making a big, big mistake, said Sacks. It's not a small thing. This is a very big thing. And then he went on to say, you mix religion and politics, you get terrible politics and even worse religion.
So, that's what we like. Like, again, he wasn't afraid to be controversial,
absolutely,
or say what he meant.
Not at all. I mean, he went on to say, I'm afraid I have absolutely not the slightest shred of sympathy for anyone who, as a rabbi, tells people how to vote. I mean, those are powerful. He certainly didn't hold back on what he valued.
No, absolutely. And he was, and there was also another comment. I mean, I loved all the comments that I was reading that people were sending in. But these are proper world leaders that were making comments about him. But it said that Sacks's vision, informed as is by the concerns of the modern orthodoxy, is paradoxically one of the most universalizing voices within contemporary Judaism. Sacks possesses a rare ability to hold in delicate balance the universal demands of the modern multicultural world with the particularism associated with Judaism. So that's exactly it. Like, he was totally in touch with what was going on globally. He wasn't disconnected from it, and he was willing to comment on it. So, I mean, even the Jerusalem Post, I'm just going to read you one of their comments. It said that Sacks's confidence in the power of Judaism and its infinite wisdom enabled him to enter the lion's den, taking on famous philosophers, scientists, religious thinkers, and sociologists, and showing them that Judaism had something to teach that they couldn't afford to miss if they wanted to be at the forefront of philosophy and science.
Incredible. Oh, I love that. That's a very, very powerful
thing. Yeah. I mean, he just was transcendent. I think that's basically the word that we can use to describe him. And it is just a massive loss. And again, we're always looking like in Judaism, like especially when there are Jewish people in the press and you like, you actually cringe. You're like, oh my gosh, people are going to think that this is representative of all the Jews in the world. But when you looked at him, you would actually say, you know, we're proud to have him as a representative of the Jewish people. And that is, you can't buy that.
I think the world, the Jewish world, as well as the rest of the world, has lost an incredible mind and an incredibly powerful force. Thankfully, we have his books, his writings, his shiurim, lectures to hold on to, as you said, Dina. 30 books. Certainly, I'm going to go and look for some of them that that I don't have, I want to either reread, just because he is just one of the most important voices, I believe, of our generation. It is 8:27. Dina Diamond, thank you as always.